Are you ready on the right? Are you ready on the left? Unlock.
Okay, and here we are with another episode of The Lowdown with Ed Brown.
It's been a little while.
It has been a little while.
Yeah, yeah. Always enjoy these. So.
Yeah, I do too. These are, you know. And so today you find us at Hop Fusion.
Hop Fusion Ale Works.
On a Wednesday.
On a Wednesday. It's karaoke night every Wednesday. So if you come, be prepared for some loud karaoke.
I think we're going to do something later, maybe some Endless Love or something.
Sure, let's do a duet.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. So we had you on today. So you had the weekly article that came out today, and you wrote a article on the new Magnolia Boutique Hotel.
Yes, exactly. They're calling it the Magnolia Boutique Hotel. That name will probably change as it gets branded, but that's what it's called right now. And
yeah,
I'm sure most people in Fairmount know all about it already.
Right.
But it's a proposed six-story, 138 room boutique hotel that's going on Magnolia Avenue in South Henderson. So,
yeah, and I'm part of the Fairmont neighborhood group.
Oh, okay.
And then also just on my Facebook page, I'm a fan of the Southside Incorporated and stuff. And
sure.
So, I've been seeing all kinds of stuff going through, and reading everything, it's like there's the you're always going to have the anti crowd that's like, ugh. They're trying to turn us into West 7th.
You hear that.
They're trying to make us Dallas. They're trying to make us, you know, bourgeois.
Yeah, all this kind of stuff.
You know, we're gonna put a boutique hotel, you know, over by the wine bar. How, you know, posh or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, so you're going to have that element anyways, regardless of what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have the other people that, it seems like everybody keeps talking about the six stories.
Mm-hmm.
But there's already tall buildings on Magnolia.
Yeah.
And so how much bigger is it going to be? Because everybody's like, it's going to be towering over everything. It's not going to be towering over.
It's not going to be towering, for what I understand. And the architect spoke to me. It's only going to be a little taller than the current tallest building.
Is like five stories, I guess?
There are two buildings that are more than three stories, according to Mike Brennan with Near Southside, and that's the Magnolia Center, which is five stories, and the Magnolia Medical Tower, which is six. So there already is
And I never really noticed, like whenever I'm driving down, I never look at the buildings enough to notice the different, you know, how tall they are. Because I know that they're all small, or they all seem small compared to like downtown or
something. Noting that there are only two that are more than three stories, right? So it does mean that most of the buildings are three stories or less,
you know?
And a lot of them are three stories. That's a very popular height, and that's basically because of the form-based code zoning that restricts most buildings to three floors, but it does allow for six in certain circumstances. So this is not unprecedented, and it's totally legal.
So the people that are doing it, like the people that are going to own the property, own the hotel, I guess, the main folks that are going to make the profits and stuff from it, are they a local group?
The Dolabi family, I didn't speak to them. My understanding is they are, and they own some properties. They own some properties along Magnolia, so I believe they're local.
Yeah, see, I think I heard that they were local as well. And as far as the pro stuff that I've heard that, or at least some of the pro arguments is that you have a family that's actually local and is willing to work with of the community, and let's say that everybody fought it, and they ran them off. They just said, you know what, we're not going to do it. It's not worth our time. Some California group or some New York group is going to come in and buy up that property, and they're not going to care what the neighborhood thinks at all. I think these folks, it seemed like they actually want to try to make it work, right? I mean, they're using a local architecture firm.
It does. I mean, that's what it looks like to me. They are trying to maximize the size of their building, because they cannot build a seven-story building, but they're building a six-story building. But they are working with a local architect firm, Bennett Benner Partners. My knowledge is with the architect firm. I spoke to Michael Bennett, who's the lead architect on the job, and we'll talk about this on this episode. But they've done a lot to try to make it fit in with the look and feel of the place. So they've done their research.
Right.
So now it is also worth noting that the development company Bond Partners is based out of California. So there is an outside, you know, element to this.
Right, but it's not an outside ownership group.
The property is owned by the Dolabi
right.
family, so correct.
Now, I know that they're putting a Coyote Ugly on 7th.
Yes, that's coming up.
Right, so...
Yeah. Hey, Matt.
How you doing?
Good. Good to see you.
So, I think if they were to try to put a Coyote Ugly on Magnolia, people would lose their mind. I would totally get that. I'd be like, look, you know, now you're making it, you know, not a cool place like it was.
Yeah, that wouldn't even be trying to fit in with the culture there.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is different than that. I do wonder how much we need a hotel, but it's not a big giant one. I mean, but I guess it'll work because there is a lot of hospitals around here,
mm-hmm.
and so you may have someone who goes to the hospital, and they're going to have family that come in from out of town that want to, you know, go to Baylor or go to Harris or whatever and see them, and they'll have someplace close where they can stay, because there's not really a lot of hotels over here, are there?
Like, there's not, and that brings up another point. Right now, the zoning in that area, the near south, does not allow for hotels. That's why you don't have hotels.
Mm-hmm.
So what part of this story is January 24th, 7 p.m., the city council is going to have to approve a request to amend the zoning to allow for a hotel.
Okay.
This will be the first hotel in the near south side area, district. So
do you think that makes people nervous? Like, okay, so they're going to bring in one, and that's cool. Maybe it's a boutique hotel, and it's a local ownership group, but what about the next one?
Well, technically, this does open the door. You know, if they rewrite the rules to allow for a hotel, then there wouldn't be much going back. But, you know, speaking to Michael, he said, the architect, you know, he said, well, this is not a Hilton. This is not a chain hotel coming in. And we wouldn't want that. We wouldn't be on this project if it were that.
Right.
So part of why Michael said they worked on the with this development company is because it is going to be something unique that he says will fit in. So.
And they're talking about at least... from your article, they're talking about they're going to try to hang local art in the foyer.
He wanted, you know, to get that across, that they're going to, you know, take local artists and hang their work in the curate their art. Not right now. He didn't say buy it, but it'll be for sale. So it'll be rotating. It'll be thoughtful, but there'll be local artists like Jay Wilkinson,
sure.
and, you know, and
maybe Joe Defoe. Or...
Yeah, sure. Of course. All those people. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder where, speaking of James, I wonder where James Zamas falls in this, because James Zamas is the green anti-corporate machine kind of, but he's also very, very local, and this does have a lot of local feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I wonder where he falls into this, because me personally, I'm kind of for it. You know, mm-hmm. I want to be the anti guy. You know, it's, the other girls,
sure.
but it's going to happen. They have this whole hemp hill vision thing that they're doing, where they're wanting to slow down the traffic and, you know, and have all these other local small businesses. They want Pimpel to be kind of like Magnolia all the way up, you know, and so they're going to start doing all this stuff. They're working on the east side, they're putting all this new, just all kinds of new stuff in, so it's going to grow, it's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so I do think it's important to get somebody local, and mm-hmm. we do have a local family that wants to work with the local community, because everything on Magnolia is local. With local art, you go into the taco place and there's Joe Defoe paintings in there,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's cool that they'll keep that going.
Yeah.
I know one of the concerns with stuff like open streets, Arts Goggle, is that going to affect? Now, from where I went, I think the Southside Incorporated said no, they put the entrances on Henderson so not to have to, you know, we'll still be able to have Arts Goggle and close the streets off on both ends. We'll still be able to open streets and do all that stuff, and it's not going to affect it in any way. I think some people were worried that like the valet and stuff would be on Magnolia, and you wouldn't be able to close the street because you have this hotel that's got to go 24/7. But they intentionally—it's
not.
Put
you're
it
correct.
On.
All that's most of the traffic, and there will be increased traffic because there's going to be supply trucks coming. There's going to be food trucks coming in. There's going to be a valet service. That's going to be along Henderson. So that might cause some problems for Henderson, but as far as what people will see on Magnolia Avenue is a restaurant and bar. And they will see a six-story hotel, but the length of the hotel goes along Henderson. So,
and you were all saying, as far as the height too, mm-hmm. that like the actual sixth floor is kind of a small.
The sixth floor, I mean, and these designs are not finalized by any means, but they are public and they're on the website of this architect firm. It's recessed, so the top floor right now will be some kind of event space. but it's, you know, it's not right up against the edge of the building. So if you look at the building, you know, we had the plans here in front of us. If you look at the building, you're going to count five floors up, and six floors a little bit back. So
yeah.
Again, that was a design, intentionally designed to not stick out too much. So, yeah.
See, so now, the job that I do, I work at a dry cleaning place, and it's a local place. It's locally owned and stuff, and we do... part of our job is to do linens and stuff, and even guest laundry and things for certain hotels.
Yeah.
And we work on some of the ones in Dallas. We do the Hotel Zaza, which is a boutique hotel, but that thing is like, it's tall. I mean, it's got, you know, lots of rooms, and it's high dollar. We do the Hotel Lumen, which is in the SMU Highland Park area, and I think that's only like three or four stories. It's white. It's very, and it fits right in. It's a very nice neighborhood. It's right by the college. But they, you know,
and they call themselves a boutique hotel. Uh-huh, that's kind of a new term to me. I hadn't really heard that concept.
No, before. I've only heard that because of this job. Because my boss only likes to go to boutique hotels. We got the Nilo Southside, which is off 30 in Lamar, right behind Gillies. There's the Nilo there. That's a boutique hotel, and so they are smaller. But these are all pretty. Or at least the Nilo and Zaza are both tall. You know, where this one isn't going to be anything like that at all. And so, but they do have a certain, I don't know if the word is art deco or whatever, but it has a certain style about it that you don't see at other hotels.
It's not just you walk in, marble floor, white walls, bright lights.
No, it's usually kind of, you know, artsy, trendy, cool,
it's
whatever.
It's got a theme to it. And this one's going to have a theme too, according to the architect. They're going to hire a company to brand it, but give it a theme that's local. So I don't know if that would be, they don't know what it would be, but it might have some kind of, it's going to incorporate something about the near south side that will be part of the core and part of the branding of it. So it's gonna feel very local, you know. At least that's the plan they have.
And, so, and they're gonna have, what was it, a rooftop? It said rooftop garden, didn't it? Because it'd be cool if they had like a rooftop garden that actually grew food and stuff, you know, like local.
Well, they're gonna have
carrots.
I guess along the sides, little inlets that are like green spaces. I forget the word they use, but as you know, it'll be little patios where you can go in and you can, you know, I assume there'll be public spaces. You know, that'll be on the ground floor.
Okay, little courtyards kind of and stuff.
Courtyards, I think that's the word they would use. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there'll be courtyards. I think one or two on each side. So, yeah.
No, it's interesting. I think when you have some of these, I mean, I really guess more of kind of undergroundy type bands and stuff, and underground artists that, you know, tend to push what the norm is. You know what I mean? Kind of a anti-establishment subculture kind of stuff. And all that takes place, like, you know, in the Southside area, but you do have a Magnolia, like we were talking earlier, where even the hot dogs are fancy. You know, all the restaurants and stuff up there are, you know, you have the, what's that place called that has the real comfort food?
On Magnolia?
Uh-huh.
Is it new?
Yeah, it's on the other side. Like, you cross over Kemp Hill going towards 35. It's,
I don't know.
But anyways, they have, like, you know, but it's like comfort food, but it's real, but it's fancy. You know, everything is, at least to me, it's fancy. It's, you know, it's
a little more upscale.
Yeah, you know, so you do have that element, but that's what I like. I like the usual, which is, a higher scale. It's the, you know, it's the theme. It's got all the old school drinks and stuff in it. You know, it's gonna cost a little more money to go in there and drink than it is if you're gonna go to the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
But I want the chat room to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You still gotta have some of that scuzz.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I think people are afraid of losing that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we should address some of the concerns people have. There are, you know, legitimate concerns about flooding because you're taking a green space. There's not a lot of green spaces, as you've noticed on Magnolia. There's not a lot of empty fields. And this is one that's fairly large that's going to be paved over with concrete. So that does increase runoff. There's potential for that to affect in a negative way local properties around there. You know, it could flood the person's house next to it. So those are real concerns. And, you know, council member Ann Zeta said she's looking into that. And that's something that they want to make sure it doesn't cause problems for the residents there. So that's one. Of course, you know, there is the size of the building. You know, talking to, in the story, I talked to a guy who started a group called Don't Shade on My Magnolia. And you know, they don't think it's a good fit for the area. They're worried about the size. They're worried about, you know, with the historic district there, you know, how does this impact the buildings that are near there? John Fitzgerald is his name. He's a Ryan Place resident. So I spoke to him in the story. He started a group. There was an online petition that has, you know, probably well over 300 people that are opposed to this project, or at least, you know, very concerned, have, you know, reservations about this. So whenever, you know, the council meeting occurs on the 24th, there will be many people lined up to speak directly against the project. So it's you know, it's not a done deal by any means, and I don't want to you know, underestimate, you know, the opposition to this project. People are concerned, and, you know, and a lot of their concerns aren't necessarily that the hotel is going to, you know, kill the vibe there, but like, here's a hotel, then what's next? You know, that's, and things are changing. You know, you have, you know, the Kent & Co. coming in. They've done a great job, but they're, you know, it's a little bit different feel.
But again, it is a local family.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's, you know, look, there's going to be people in this city who have some money. And if they want to invest it in their neighborhood, you know, we should, you know.
Let's be perfectly honest, it's their property. We all can agree on, you know, property rights are important. And, you know, you should be able to, within law, you know, do what's legal with your property. So that's, you know, that's kind of the crux of it. So.
And the Bass Brothers did a really good job with downtown. They put a lot of money into downtown.
They turned around the, you know, they turned around, you know, downtown.
I mean, Dallas envies us.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they can't do what we've done. And it's taken local people with lots of money, you know, and we ran out a lot of, you know, the element or whatever from there, you know, drugs and and prostitution and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's a very safe downtown now.
Yeah, you know, and it took that. Now it's different. It's a completely different downtown.
Yeah. Well, two other things I thought were really interesting when I started writing this story. Initially, there was really kind of a really PR kind of failure on the side of the people that were behind this project.
Yeah, because nobody knew that it was coming. Nobody saw it coming.
It was kind of announced, you know, as far as the public was concerned, they felt a little blindsided. And basically, like, I kind of distilled it down to two problems, you know, in my story. One was the zoning, the signage by the city that typically announces a zoning change request was not put up before the zoning commission in mid-December voted to recommend this to city council. So that's the first step. The zoning council looked at this request to allow a hotel and a few other additions in mid-December, and, you know, Pat Bradley felt that there weren't enough citizens that were aware of it by then, and largely she was right. But when I talked to Jocelyn Murphy with the city zoning, she said by state law, they're not required to put up a sign before a zoning commission meeting. They typically do a few weeks before. Of course, they try to. And in this case, she said there was a staffer that changed positions within the city who normally would have done that, and that person just didn't get that job done. And so with that, you know, understandably, that was interpreted as, wow, they're trying to hide this from us.
Right.
I'm not saying, I'm not taking sides on that issue, but I'm just saying that's, you know, that's what happened.
Because that would happen in my job.
Yeah.
You know, somebody would change positions and nobody would fill in, you know, that stuff would get dropped.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that does seem like it would happen.
But if you're a resident and the sign goes up on January 3rd, after the zoning recommended it, and you didn't know about this,
right.
it would feel like the city is kind of fast-tracking this through and maybe hiding it. I mean, that was the perception.
Of course. Like in a...
Understandably...
In The Hitchhiker's Guide, whenever they wanted to destroy the Earth, you know, and they were coming through and they're going to blow it up, and everybody was all mad. They're like, dude, it's been on file in sector whatever, whatever, down in the basement, third filing cabinet, behind the spider web, you know what I'm talking about?
And it's like, it's a great movie.
Yeah, but that's where it was. It was there. It was like, you could have looked at it anytime. Public knowledge.
You're right.
You know, that's what it almost feels like, to where it's like, you know.
And the other was a communication kind of admitted problem on the part of Mike Brennan with Near Southside. I you know, talked to him extensively, and when he was in December, early December, November, when they were trying to get word out of this project, he was talking with the Fairmount Preservation Group. I don't have the name in front of me, but he didn't include Pat Bradley, who's the Fairmount Neighbor Association president, And, you know, he said, you know, that was a mistake. In hindsight, I should have included her. It wasn't intentional. But again, you know, what that looks like, you know, if you're in the Fairmount neighbor community, you're getting this information pretty late just because of an oversight, because you weren't somebody wasn't CC'd in on the email.
Right.
So, you know, that's, and then, of course, the zoning sign going up late. It looks bad, and I think they definitely wish it had gone differently, but, yeah. So.
Well, you have there's definitely a culture, a worldwide culture, really, with these giant businesses, corporations, and it seems like business rules all, you know, and money rules, and it's like, it doesn't matter what the little guy wants, or it doesn't matter about the history of your neighborhood, or whatever. If you got the money to come in, you can do whatever you want with that neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, and so...
This plays into that narrative, right?
Right.
It
totally plays into it. You know, we're going to have a little league baseball team that's going to try to save the
good old boys, you know, behind the scenes making deals. And I would say that happens a lot.
Sure, it does.
There's a reason that's a stereotype, because it's true largely. Yeah, in this case, you know, there were some definitely extenuating circumstances, but, you know. I might get in trouble for saying this, but city council is pretty pro-business. That's just their track record.
Of course it is. Yeah, of course.
I don't think that's, you know, secret.
No, but I really, I've always been proud of our city, because it seems like our city does a pretty decent job with the public-private partnership.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because you got to have both. I mean, look, I'm a left guy, but I don't want a socialist. We all pitch into this. You know, I mean, I want the private side, too. It should be a partnership between... the citizens, us, and the business owners, and the government. We should all be in this together and work.
The city can't bankroll everything that happens,
right?
You know, nor should they.
No, you need private. You know, yeah. So of course, I mean, you don't want to do away with that. I'm not an anti capitalist, and
yeah.
I think our city does a good job with that. You know, but you're always going to have, I mean, you're going to have the most activist neighborhood in town getting a new hotel, a boutique hotel. There, you know, it's going to be. You know,
it's great, though. I will say, shouldn't more neighborhoods be like that?
It totally should be. Pay more attention to what's going on.
Pay attention.
Because most time it just pops up like, oh, where'd that come from? When did that go up? I didn't even notice that last week.
Yeah.
You know.
I think, you know, again, you know, speaking to Michael, we had coffee at Avoca. Michael with the architect firm. He said, you know, he really admires the neighborhood. He wished every neighborhood was this active. And I'm sure it's kind of a pain right now with what he's trying to do. But this
but
is a it's a healthy community that talks and networks, and sometimes things get out of hand, some rumors spread, and I've noticed, you know, that tends to happen, but, you know, I think the truth's somewhere in the middle, and I think, you know, in the end, there'll be a rational discussion at the city council meeting, and...
I really think that it could be a good thing to have a local person investing their own money in the neighborhood,
Yeah.
I think it could help the local economy. I mean, it does bring jobs, you know what I mean? All you little weirdo guys can go out there and valet park cars and, you know, and there's going to be, you know, office jobs and house cleaning jobs, and it's going to, you know, wait jobs, bartender
jobs.
This
is in the story, but according to, you know, Bennett and Brenner architect firm, the hotel is projected to employ 160 full-time people.
Yeah, and I'm...
People that are working, maybe right now they're working as a bartender or a waitress. They... You know, it's going to add $25 million to the economy. So I'm not trying to sugarcoat what
but
that's, you know, those are realistic estimates.
I'm really hoping that the company I work for can get that business from one local company to another one to go down there and get their linens or get their guest
line. Well, you'll have more of a chance because you're local.
Right around the corner.
Yeah.
You know, just down the street on 8th. And so, if that happened, it would actually help our business, which could actually fatten my wallet, and I'm going to set my money at the, you know, at the Hop Fusion on karaoke night. I mean, I think that stuff is good. I mean, it really does, you know, if it's the Marriott or the Hilton or whatever, it's going to, you know, Paris Hilton's daddy or whatever.
Point.
You know what I mean?
You're right.
This
money's out of here. It's gone. It's being sucked out.
You know, and so this way it all stays here. And, you know, I mean, really locally here. You know,
going back into the near south side.
They're going to walk across the street to the Bull Down and spend their tips.
Yeah. And it's literally going back into the near south side Inc. development group, which is promoting the area. So,
but it can be good, and it can be good because the neighborhood's involved. If the neighborhood stays on top of it and the people that are doing it are willing to work with them, I think that there could be a... I mean, we got a Walmart on South
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we didn't want it. Nobody wanted it.
Yeah.
You know, but we were going to get it either way. So they're like, okay, look, what you're going to do, you're going to sink the parking lot down. So whenever you're driving up, you can't really see it. You're going to put bushes around the whole thing. I mean, it's like, it's not, you don't, it's not like, we're here, Walmart. It's like, you, I mean, you see it, but it's not in your face. I mean, they really tried to, and are like, they keep up on you got to make sure that your employees pick up trash every day and this and that. And they're really going for, it made them make all these changes because Walmarts have, everything looks the same, but this one's different. Because the neighborhood made it be different. Like, if you're going to be here, then you're going to follow these rules for the neighborhood put inside. So it's cool. We were active.
Yeah.
And we still got the Walmart, but at least we got to, you know, they didn't, you know, we got to kind of make it.
Because you were invested in the discussion, you had some say, some input on how it actually looked.
So I think that's going to happen as well. And this isn't Walmart, man. Walmart's the devil. This is a freaking local family that wants to, you know.
Yeah, they got me thinking, looking forward, it's going to take 2 years before this thing's done.
Right.
It's a while off. Between now and then, I think in my mind, after they've seen the community, let's just say interest, to put it nicely.
For sure, sure.
I think they're going to have a lot of group discussions, and there's going to be a lot of opportunities for community inputs on the design and how it's implemented. What's been really nice about Don't Shade on Me Magnolia and even the Facebook comments and the social media, you know, and the emails to Anzeta, the people that have been emailing, you know, City Council, I know a lot of them have. It's going to be a nice reminder to these developers that they need to talk to the community. They're going to be part of a community, and it's a community that votes with its money.
Right.
And if they like a business, they support the hell out of it.
No, yeah, because I tell you, if they don't like you, they ain't going there. I mean, you better hope you get out of town business, because ain't nobody in the neighborhood going to step one
very
foot.
Ugly. It could get very awkward, possibly.
Yeah, it totally can. So, no, I mean,
I'm not trying to.
But again, that's what's awesome, because it keeps everybody. I mean, every business owner knows you don't want to piss off the neighborhood. You know,
word spreads. It's amazing.
But it keeps the customer service good. It keeps, you know, people honest. It should be that way. It's a give and take. You know,
this is. I don't think it's a secret, but Adam Gonzalez leaving Chimera.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He was, you know, kind of forced out. You know, people know that, and they, you know, maybe they might choose not to go there anymore because of how that went down.
Right.
That doesn't happen in West 7. No one's going to boycott Landmark because some waiter got fired for no reason.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
No, because I was telling somebody, I was like, they need a bicycle shop over here, like on Magnolia. All these people, they ride bikes and stuff. Places you can buy parts, tires, tubes. You know, even bikes and stuff, whatever. They said that they used to have one over here, but the people and the owners were terrible, and so, you know, the whole neighborhood's like, we don't like them, and then they're gone.
That's a different kind of capitalism, but I like that.
But that's how capitalism should work.
You know what I mean? Exactly. It's
not
just
I got a product, you know, and it's like, well, I like it.
That's great. You got a great product. Yeah.
Then I'll get it, but hold on.
How do you treat your employees, and are you, you know, how do you respond to the community, you know? So
because you can go down the street, and there's another person who's willing to be cool.
Also makes, you know, good bikes. Well, you know, I want to make sure, you know, the discussion covers both sides. You know, I spoke to a lot of, let's just talk about the elephant in the room. As more and more well-funded businesses and ventures move into Magnolia, is that going to start pricing people out?
Yeah, right.
So that is a completely legitimate concern that I think should not be. That problem is we're going to be faced with very soon. So, you know, when is that going to be? What is that going to look like?
It is going to be harder to get, because I mean, you have now, it's already, you can get like a one bedroom loft, you know, in Magnolia for like $1,000 a month, all bills paid, which is like, if I was a single guy, I couldn't afford that, you know, but that's to live, I mean, in for Fairmont or whatever. It's like the houses now are $300,000 or something.
Kentco lofts are $2,000.
You know, I mean, and if you have people that can afford that to come in here, you know, then they will.
Here's the question, though. I mean, if people can afford, they will. But the people that help make Magnolia cool,
they'll go away.
Those are the ones that are that can't afford it.
Right, and they'll go away.
So,
and people will stop caring.
Who are those people? Well, they're artists. They're artisans. They're musicians. You know, they're creative people. They're also just local bartenders. They're the people that have a lot of awesome personalities that are living near the streets. And, you know, in my private discussions, you know, about what's happening on Magnolia Avenue, what they are worried about is, well, you know, we've helped. It's not, you know, you know, they say we've helped make this place cool, and they're
totally right.
They're totally right. And so, at what point, you know, does growth, you know, affect them negatively? You know, is there a place for them to stay in a community that they helped create? Why, you know, I was talking to a good friend of mine. I don't know if he wants me to mention his name, but James Salamis, I'll just say that. He's created the artwork that's on the green space right now. And I was talking to him, and I realized it. You know, the reason they have a $60 million hotel coming to an area that's still pretty DIY, right?
Sure, it totally is.
You have a $60 million project that's supported by city council, you know, funded, designed by a very high-level architect firm, and, you know, and you have a California development group. It's because that area is cool, right? It's for no other reason that area has become the cool place in Fort Worth.
I know.
And the people that made it cool, right, they should have a right to stay there.
They totally should.
So, yeah.
No, it's that a tricky thing because it's a, you know.
Now, is this hotel pushing them out? No, not this.
No, of course not.
Not this one project.
It's just a piece of the pie. It's a slippery slope, as they say. You know, it's.
And I don't know if we're projecting a problem that isn't going to be a problem for another 5 years, right? We don't know if it's going to be a problem in 2 years. Or 5 years or 10 years, but it's at least the discussions going on. And, you know, James Zammitz, you know, Keep Forth Funky, that's part of what's great about what he's doing is he's saying, hey, we need to protect what has made this place unique. And that's people. It's not just pop-up art shows. It's right. Literally people that have made that place unique, funky. But anyway.
Yeah, no. Because that's the problem, I think, with Austin these days. You know, it seems like it's all corporate. And remember, Austin was the, you know, Keep Austin Weird. That was their whole thing, too. And it was this bastion of, like, in Texas, this very red state, you know. You have this little hippie haven in, you know, south of Texas, Austin, where all the cool kids were and all the cool bars were and all that stuff. And, you know, and then over the years, it's like, yeah, everybody in the world knows how cool Austin is, to where the people in Austin don't want to live in Austin anymore. Because it's not cool to them. What made Austin cool is no longer cool. Now it's incorporated, yeah. Cool. It's, you know, yeah. It's... And so, I don't know if that can happen here. I don't know that we have that size. But that's the worry.
Yeah.
I don't worry about the art, because the art will always live. If they get run out of Fairmont, they'll go south. Or they'll go east. You know, they'll end up on Ray Street. Or they'll end up in another, you know, area. They'll come over
but
here.
But is that...
No, they shouldn't have to keep moving.
They shouldn't have to do that, though. No. That's the question. You know, why should they have to keep...
Because artists make $200 a month, and they have to go where they can live for $200 a month.
Yeah.
You know, and so if that's the ghetto, then they have to go to the ghetto and live for $200 a month, yeah. And do their art. It's what you do... As an artist, man, it's like, I couldn't do it. That's why I'm married with kids and I got a full-time job or whatever, because yeah. I can't play my guitar every night for shekels.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Eating SpaghettiOs and fried Spams and sandwiches every night. But you do that for your art, you know, because you want to be free. You don't want to be chained down by the man. You want to be able to sleep till noon and get up and start working on your art and stuff. And that's awesome. You make great art, and that's your lifestyle.
Yeah.
But you live in the poor part of town, which a lot of times is kind of the cool part.
I would say, though, and I know you agree, that shouldn't be acceptable.
It shouldn't be acceptable.
That model should
right.
not be acceptable. So the near south side is kind of an interesting testing ground for, can they find some equilibrium where near south side Inc., and to their credit, you know, they've created some great resident artist projects that have, you know, have actually put money into artist coffers, Arts Goggle, you know, at least, you know, on the surface, they're trying to help them out.
Which
can they find a way to provide enough money for these people to stay here?
We can, as long as so you have
in a
this,
meaningful way, not just a
right.
like,
but like this hotel,
token.
But like this hotel that comes in that puts in their different people's arts, and they sell it, for a premium to people who can afford a premium price, and these artists actually get paid for their work.
Yeah.
You know, they start playing at these restaurants and bars.
Well,
that pays $60 a plate. Give the guy $300 to play that night or whatever.
I'm gonna put out a suggestion. I'm getting, you know, a little adventurous, maybe because I'm on my second beer.
I know, right?
Stout beer, you know. But
we're gonna be singing pretty soon.
So they're So they're hanging art for sale that's going to go to the artist. Why don't they buy art? Why don't they buy a collection to hang in the hallways, in the rooms? Why don't they invest
$1 million
and buy a ton of local arts and own it? That would be a gift. That would be a way of saying that we are invested in this community in a meaningful way. That would be great. I'm not, you know, it's kind of, it's easy to hang art with a price tag on it that you haven't bought that you're going to let someone else buy, right?
Right, right.
It's a nice gesture. I'm not knocking them. At least they're thinking about it. But why don't they just outright buy the art and own it? And, you know, commit to buying a certain amount every year.
Right, yeah.
That's one example of like a sustainable model that will keep the creatives in the community able to make a living, and yes. then you know, not, it'll be great for relationships with the Fairmount community, you know, because like, man, this hotel, yeah. I wasn't sure at first, but man, they just, you know, they bought, you know, all of our arts, and they're, man, they're just doing so much for us, and
well,
we're
see,
gonna,
and you can also, it's like you can do everything local, you know, as far as that goes. It's like, so have you been to Marfa, Texas?
So now the beautiful, all about it.
Yeah, because the beautiful thing about this place is this is, you know, there's like 2,000 people in this little town, and there's like 11 art galleries.
Yeah.
For 2,000 people, it's insane. So you have basically like the south side in the middle of the desert. You know,
people travel there to see it, though. That's
it's awesome.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, they have, I mean, now part of the problem there is they have people from New York, like Judd is his name. He's an artist or whatever, and he's bought a bunch of land out there, and he puts up giant art in the middle of the desert that everybody comes out and sees. And you know, and you still have the working class there that are working their farms and doing all that kind of stuff. But you have this really neat little, there's no corporations in town. It's all mom and pop businesses. Maybe like an Exxon gas station or something, you know what I mean? But it's like everything is just like local pizza, local, you know, coffee, local everything. And all the businesses use each other. You know, like if there's a local laundry place, they wash all the sheets for all the hotels in town, all the napkins and tablecloths and stuff for all the restaurants. You know, everybody uses each other. There is no outside group. And I think that's really cool. We have something like that going on here, to where you have all these businesses here that do certain things. And so if you have a business, you would use those businesses to service your business. And likewise, you all support each other.
It's very symbiotic.
Yeah. I think that'd be really cool.
Well, Fort Worth, Magnolia, the near south side's creating that model.
To do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You drink raw beer with a mocha coffee in it. You know, there's...
That's what I'm talking about. I think that, you know, or like buying the local art and putting it in the rooms, or, you know, doing your laundry at the local laundry place, or whatever it is, you know. I mean, I guess if they're going to have food and beer, they're going to make their own food and beer. But if they want to get beer, they can get beer from a local brewery.
Yeah.
You know.
But, you know, the question is, you know, a hotel coming to Fort Worth, there's a lot of places they could have built that hotel that would have a lot of foot traffic. But it's interesting that they chose the Magnolia, the, you know, street side.
It does seem strange to me, because it's like, I don't really know that we need a hotel.
But I guess they wouldn't do that if they didn't see a demand, but what that means is there's something about that neighborhood that people will be willing to travel to just to come out of their hotel and be there.
Maybe
so. There's something unique. I think that just is a testament to what's really unique about what's happening there.
Yeah.
It's very authentic.
At least, if not now, what's coming for sure.
Well, I would also agree. I would say they're not... If they open right now, they may not do that well. But in 2 years, that's the beginning of what they're hoping in five other years will, you know, pay off. So they you know, they're investing in the community. They see something there, so that's validation for everything that the Near South has been working toward.
Yeah.
You know, in a way. So somebody's singing. What is this? Disney, is it Aladdin? A Whole New World. He's doing a very convincing manly cover of it.
Have you ever done karaoke?
I do. If I do karaoke, I'm half Korean. So we have our own version of karaoke.
Uh-huh.
It's a private room that you sing in front of your friends.
I think that's worse.
Oh, I love it. It's better.
Really?
This is, if you're a great singer, it's great, but I feel bad for a lot of
people. There's some singers tonight that aren't that great.
Yeah. I don't want to sing in front of strangers. I really don't. Like, that's my nightmare.
Yeah. See, now, so like, I used to front a band way back in the 90s or whatever. Or I'd even do like just a songwriter thing, just me and my guitar sitting on a stool singing. I could get up and on stage and sing in front of this crowd with no problem at all. But you fill this crowd up with all my friends.
Oh, really? Okay.
Forget about it.
Maybe it's a cultural thing.
Oh, maybe like, it's just.
I want like five of my best friends and a couple of drinks and some food and sing your heart out.
My best friends are gonna be like trying to throw me off and you suck or tell me jokes or just trying to get me off time or whatever and you know busting your balls. That's how your friends do you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know any of these people. I might never even see them again, so I can get up here and try.
Okay.
But
it's a very American take on karaoke.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
No, but there's a lot of people here that will get up here and just, you know, let off line.
They're doing well. They've got a duet going up here. Wow.
Now, but it's going to be interesting to see how this all goes down, you know. I've been reading both sides, and I go back and forth because, like I said, there's a natural part of me that wants to be the cynic, you know, the guy that's like, you know, anything that's big and bourgeois or whatever, it's like, we don't need it. We just want, I want the chat room, and I want the boiled owl, you know.
50 chat rooms on Magnolia.
Right, you know, I just want, you know, I want the days whenever they had the little porno shop in the, you know.
I don't remember that.
No, I think it was a kind of a gnarly little area. It was just, you know, where you might have like an adult bookstore or something. It seems, I really think that Shaw's or something used to be something like that, you know, but it was a real, you know, it's not like it was at all now at all, you know, so it's already come a long way. And I think that's the fear. People see it from going from this really, I mean, kind of sketchy, dangerous neighborhood to something, everybody wants to be here now. And it's cool, but once everybody gets here, you're like, that was always my fear. I was like, I want to move to Magnolia, but they just wrote, or not about Magnolia, but to Marfa. And right after I said that, they wrote an article about Marfa in the Vanity Fair. It's like, you can't go to Marfa once everybody knows it's cool. You have to go before it's cool. Once everybody knows it's cool, then it's no longer cool.
Yeah.
That's how it works. I don't know why, but that's just how it works. And so this area over here, it's like, not everybody knows it's cool yet. As soon as everybody knows it's cool, then now it's no longer cool. And so you just don't want it to turn into that. And there is a very real, cannot afford rent anymore, you know. Like I said, I live in South Hemphill Heights. I can't afford to live in Fairmont, you know. Mm-hmm. If I'm in my house two blocks over, I would double the price.
Wow. Just for the name?
Yeah, just because you're it's the historic district part of it, and then it's also the new up-and-coming, hip, cool area that everybody's investing in to where, you know.
It's interesting because what's happening here is happening across the country where older neighborhoods are becoming cool again. It's not,
because everybody's sick of the cookie-cutter houses. You go to the house.
You had an answer ready, didn't you?
I think that's what it is, man. It's like everything has been mass-produced so much it's just cookie-cutter, you know? We lost the individual. I mean, every house over here is different than the one next door. That's what's awesome about it, you know? Yeah. And you go into another neighborhood, it's like there's three different models throughout the whole, you know, for blocks and blocks and blocks of three different types of houses. Do you want this, this, or this, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like over here, it's like big porches and, you know, tall roofs.
I'm kind of caught because I appreciate the old homes, and I know a lot of people that own these 100-year-old homes are beautiful, but they are a lot of work to keep up.
They are, and they don't have a dishwasher. I don't have a garbage disposal.
Yeah,
you know, it's
exactly.
Like I use window units for the air conditioning. I mean, it's so there's that.
There's sacrifices.
You don't have the modern luxury. Yeah.
I mean, at least what I think would be a sacrifice.
Yeah. Maybe. Oh, it's totally a sacrifice. Mm. But we have the hardwood floors, a big back porch. I mean, a big backyard, a big front covered porch. I mean, it's great. It's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and if we had the money, we could always go in and add a dishwasher, add a garbage disposal, add central heat and air or whatever. You know what I mean? You can do all that.
So I got a crazy prediction. If Magnolia becomes too commercial, where will the next Magnolia be? And this actually will happen. So, it might happen in 10 years, but
I mean, I really wish what would happen is all the way from Magnolia to Rosedale, it just turns into Deep Ellum. Nothing but bars.
So you think it's going to go north?
No, but I wish it would. I'm just saying, I wish that little area, because it's like all these medical offices and lawyers' offices and all this just business space or whatever. I mean, it is, and that's probably what it'll always be. But I wish it was. You know how you go to Depot Element? It's Commerce and Main and whatever it is, like three or four blocks. They go far down, they go wide, and it's just like club, bar, restaurant, club. You know, it's just that'd be cool. But we have one street. It'd be cool if it was kind of like kind of went north to Rosedale, and you could go down Henderson, and there's more stuff on both sides all the way down, and you could even turn, you know, whatever's next, Oleander or whatever that is, and there's stuff over there, you know what I mean? I think it'd be kind of cool if it was like, if it just blew up to where it was like, you know, everything, you know, just all kinds of stuff. But I don't think it'll go that way. I don't know. I think that they'll end up, I don't know, will they go to the west side? To the Como area stuff?
That'd be a stretch. You know, I would say, or Arlington Heights is, you know, I don't know.
Arlington Heights is always
people,
really good.
A lot of people have big hopes for Arlington Heights, but I think Hemp Hill, it seems kind of logical. There's going to be a lot of commuter connections happening between, you know, Hemp Hill is going to be adopting the road diet that's worked really well here. You know, there's a lot of Magnolia type stuff happening there. So I think Hemp Hill is a logical extension around 1919 Hemp Hill.
Even down here. Because they keep saying that the South Main
Village this is kind of, you know, when we say here, we're talking about
the South Main Village or whatever it was called, or?
Well, just south of downtown.
Shipping and receiving area,
just for people who lost track of where we're at. That's a given. That's going to happen. That's not a prediction. That's like, this is where the next big boom is going to be, right?
And so they'll have bars and clubs and restaurants.
Main Street's getting finished here. There's a lot of nice upscale apartments here. I mean, that's a given, but like, you know, like where do you start over? You know, so the question would be like, well, maybe Hemp Hill or Race Street. You mentioned Race Street.
I mean, because I think it'll be east, probably.
East,
correct.
Because
there's really nothing south. I don't know if like west, like Como or Arlington Heights or whatever, maybe over there somewhere.
Maybe there.
But it seems like east, Race Street over to anywhere.
Yeah.
Hemp Hill and east of that, you know, could be the next.
Riverside area. Yeah.
You know.
And that's probably going to happen.
And there's some great homes over there, too.
I say probably that's going to happen. I don't know what the timeline is for that. That's an up and coming area. So
yeah, no, because they're going through and putting in new infrastructure stuff and like fiber optics or whatever for the internet and new sidewalks.
Yeah,
and, I mean they're
going to. You got Martin House out there, Hot Damn Tamales. You've got some cool, a lot of great restaurants.
Yeah, no, it's a matter. I mean, if I was going to buy a house, that might be the place to buy
because
you can get it cheap.
Now I think about it.
You know, get it cheap, and then in a few years, ten years from now, you'll triple.
Trinity River Vision is going to be. It's going to be, you know, right up on that, so.
No, it's interesting. I think everybody thinks that we want to be Dallas, and I don't think the Fort Worth ever wants to be. I mean, of course, Fort Worth says it was going to be Dallas, but I don't think that even the business people in Fort Worth want to be Dallas.
I agree.
You know.
I agree.
I think it's still
the
different.
The people, I mean, you know, not to name names, but I've talked to a lot of high-end business developers. They don't want to be Dallas.
Yeah, and so I just have faith, because I really am. If I had to be, I mean, you know, I have no problem with capitalism, but I could be more anti-capitalist than pro-capitalist. You know what I mean? I do.
Yeah.
I'm all for the worker and the little man and, you know, all that stuff. But I don't know. It's just, maybe I'm fooled. Maybe I'm just a sucker. But I always felt like the Fort Worth was a little different. It's more people-friendly. Dallas is the financial city. Dallas is where the money is. Dallas is plastic and fake and whatever. That's not us. Well, we're, you know, and there may be.
We have to make that narrative that we all believe right now, that Fort Worth is the friendly, help the little guy community. Mm-hmm. We have to make that a reality. It's not going to happen if you just wait for things to come to be presented to city council from a California development group.
Right.
That's, you know, we can't rely on the establishment to do that. So it's going to be groups. It's going to be volunteer groups, you know, whether it's Keep Fort Worth Funky or it's, you know, Don't Shade on My Magnolia. It's going to be these invested locals. Our job to keep Fort Worth funky.
And they're doing it. And whether you're pro or against it, you can make your voice heard. When was the meeting? January 24th?
It's a Tuesday, 7 p.m., City Council. It's Throgmorton, so I've got the address. A 1000 Throckmorton Street, 7 p.m. January 24th.
So, I mean, you can go and you can get your voice heard. You can write I mean,
you can email, you can write.
You can write and
city council members.
And Zeta, you can find her on a Facebook. Send her a message.
She's very accessible.
She's very accessible.
Send her a Facebook friend request.
Yeah, no, she'll probably accept it and talk to you.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, she's totally. And that's, I don't know, man. It's like the people that I've met, and maybe that's their job is to make you think that they're on your side or whatever, but I feel like she's on our side. I totally buy what she's selling. Maybe I'm a sucker. I don't know. But, you know, yeah. I really think that she is on our side, and you know,
I think she takes her job very seriously. She knows that her district, or at least specifically the nearest south side, is a unique place,
right?
And what makes it unique, you know, shouldn't be destroyed.
She's cool. I mean, I really like her, and I know that she'll listen to you if you want to bitch about it, or if you want to say I got your back,
she's
or whatever.
She's very accessible. Just as a reporter, every time I've ever emailed her for a quote or called her, she's always responded very quickly. That is not true of other city council members.
Yeah. I don't know. She came on the podcast. She was awesome.
Cool.
You know,
great.
I don't know if any other councilman would come on the podcast. You know,
I doubt it.
You know, but now I mean,
I doubt it.
Zach was like, "Do you want to try to get?" He goes, "Do you want me to try to get in?" I was like, "Sure, man, you can try." I was like, "Whatever, I'll talk to her. That'd be awesome."
Did you have to hide the bongs when she walked in? Just try to clean up a little bit.
Yeah, we're like, none of that for tonight. Tonight we're being good. Ann Zeta's coming to the house. We got to be cool.
Yeah.
No, but she was great. You know, like I said, I really think she loves this city. She loves her.
Yeah.
The district that she's in, and she wants to represent everybody, and you know, like I said,
But you gotta make your voice heard, right? You can't just trust. You should never just not. You know, you can trust, but don't blindly trust your elected officials.
Right, of course.
Let them know what you think.
Listen to the opposition.
What you're angry about, and let them know that you vote. You know,
they'll listen to you. You know,
they need to get reelected.
But if you're for it, listen to the opposition, because they make a lot of really good points. And if you're against it, listen to the pro side. They make a lot of really good points,
absolutely,
too. You know,
I mean that's probably like a good message to take away from this podcast is, you know, do some research. Don't just go off what one person said on Facebook.
Right.
You know, like look, talk, you know, see what the other side is saying and why. Maybe they're bullshitting you. Maybe they're not.
Maybe they're not, you know. Yeah.
You know.
But you can listen to them and see. And so, but I know it's cool. As soon as you told me that you wanted to come on and talk about it, I was like, I'll talk about it. I go, that's all Facebook is, you know, Lisa Fairmont is talking about these days.
It is a big topic.
It's a hot topic right now.
It is a hot topic. And it's not over. There's two more years. I'm going to keep covering the topic. You know, they start construction and they said they were going to do this, but they weren't, but they, you know, recant on that. So the weekly is going to follow up and we're going to keep up on it, so keep following us.
That's cool. All right, man. Hey, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And this second beer I got was the Fiery Blonde or the Feisty Blonde. This is all right, man. I like this. This has some kind of, not spice like it's in hot, but like some sort of like...
It's got some dark sugar, honey.
Something in it that I really like.
It's very floral. So.
Yeah, floral. It's exactly very floral.
It's very floral.
But I like this one.
Yeah, that's a very popular beer. It's selling very well. When I go to a bar and ask them what their top selling beer is, Feisty Blonde is high up on their list.
I like this. And it's not real light. You can see the colors.
Yeah.
It's still a little more red than yellow.
It's probably the lightest. It's the lightest beer they make, not by ABV or flavor, but it's the lightest looking beer they make.
Right.
Yeah.
It's good though. I like this one.
Yeah. Try the Feisty Blonde.
And the other one was the Ichabod Canuck.
Hmm.
And that's why it had 100% maple syrup, because of the Canada thing. Ichabod Canuck. That's what it was called.
Okay.
And that, I told you, different beers give me different buzzes or whatever. That's got a good buzz. The Ichabod Canuck, I like that buzz.
That's cool.
It's a cool place.
Yeah. Check out Hop Fusion, people.
It's right over by shipping and receiving. If you like beer, for sure.
Yeah,
they brew.
It's right down the street.
I guess everything is brewed here.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a great brewery. You can order food from Pouring Glory.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see people eating in there.
They will deliver for no cost. They'll deliver. The delivery's free. Food's not, but they'll deliver food here.
Yeah. No, this place over here is something different in 5 years.
Yeah. No, that's why I didn't include in my predictions, because like this is the natural growth trajectory of the near south side Magnolia phenomenon is this area right here.
So. Isn't it weird though that like Dickies is right here though?
They've been here for a while. So.
They've been here for a long time. And see, I didn't even know that was like, because they're not a Fort Worth based I mean, they're not like from here, right? Is it just a plant that they have here? Because it's not like a Fort Worth kind of.
I'm gonna say probably not, because I probably would have heard they were if they were, but.
But they had like the ranch style beans.
Yeah,
thing over here. That's not a Fort Worth thing either. That wasn't like invented and created here. See, yeah. I need to learn more about that stuff.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
some of the things that we're known for as yeah, far as like.
And ranch style beans is now home to Wild Acre.
I know.
Right.
It's kind of bummed that I was kind of bummed about that because I like ranch style beans and I don't know. I like knowing that there was a ranch style beans plant.
Oh, there. Really? You're yeah. a fan of their.
I love ranch style beans.
They're doing well. That's like the number one bean. I mean,
is it?
Yeah.
That's funny.
They're like the Coca-Cola
from beans?
Canned beans. Yeah.
All right. Well, this podcast is brought to you by Ranch Style Beans.
Yes.
And Hop Fusion Brewery.
Yeah.
So, all right. Yeah, man, it's always fun.
Absolutely.
So they can find you. The Fort Worth Weekly, you also just, do a beer blog and stuff.
I have a weekly beer column. It's all on fwweekly.com. And if you grab a copy of our newspaper this week, you can read about the boutique hotel. So
I think since we were going to meet last week at that IHAPM show, I think here I'm going to play. I recorded some songs from that show.
Yeah, we were supposed to record this at the Grotto.
Last week, whatever, yeah. So this actually worked out way better. This will be way better than that, yeah, for sure.
Good.
But I'll go ahead and play a song, because I did take a recorder that night for that reason, so I recorded their show, so yeah. I'll play one of my favorite songs.
And I'm
songs
excited to learn more about this band, so.
You'll like them. I really think you like them. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So we'll close out with a little bit of IHAPM Live from the Grotto.
Okay.
Thanks, all everybody.
Cheers, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.